And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, listen, before I go any further, you know, you guys, you hear me talk about Riley and Jackson Law Firm. And I mean it when I say these are friends of mine. I know them well. They are an A-rated firm doing amazing work. They work all over the state of Alabama. They've got a great staff. And they've had a long career, multiple decades of helping, you know, make people whole, we call it, make folks whole because of the negligence of others that have been perpetrated on them. And one of the things they're also working on in the middle of all that is this Camp Lejeune water contamination. I mean, when I heard about it and I heard they were involved, since I've worked with them before and collaborated on certain issues before, I called and I said, dudes, what's the deal? And they said, listen, Phil, this is real. It's like 19 different illnesses that have been attributed to a confirmed water contamination from 1953 to 1987. So if you were there at Camp Lejeune, y'all, if you were there as a dependent, as a trainee, as a permanent duty station service member, you may well qualify for a claim, especially if you can show your medical records have some kind of an illness in there that's one of the 19 on the list. So just call them, Riley and Jackson Law Firm. They won't charge you for the call. It is certainly worth your time to find out whether or not there is something there that could indeed benefit you or, for that matter, a loved one. So here's their number, Riley and Jackson, 205-879-5000. That's Riley and Jackson, 205-879-5000. And I'll be honest with you, like I said, I know these folks quite well. They're not just right on the law. They're right on politics, too, if you know what I mean. Yeah, Riley and Jackson, 205-879-5000. Tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. And here's that thing I got to do. Boomer, you going to time me? You ready? Get that phone ready. And no representation made the quality of legal service before is greater than the quality of legal service before by other lawyers. How was that?
2.8.
Well, that's my average now, I think, is like 2.8.
You're right there.
Okay. All right. I'm not sure I can get those lips moving any faster, just to be honest. How many lawyers? I could do that. All right. Hey, it is time to move into one of my favorite segments. Every time I resource a show, I find something you have to describe as woke. But then sometimes when I'm resourcing the show, I find this woke and that woke and, oh, look at that woke and how many wokes can we find? And pretty soon I've got what I call a plethora, a vast cornucopia, a buffet of wokeness. And it's time once again for Adventures in Woke World.
Adventures in Woke World.
I'm going to tell you right now, folks, some of these stories are going to make you laugh. Some are going to make you cringe. Some are going to make you just mad. Some are going to make you want to roll your eyes or take action. But anyway, the bottom line is wokeness is everywhere. So here's one. And as I prepared for the show, I thought, I can't even read this story. This is a family show. You know what I'm saying? I can't read this stuff. Headline, Daily Caller, dated yesterday. You ready? Democrat blames existence of incels on criminalization of sex and Republicans in hilarious Twitter thread. Okay, just so you know, a Democrat running for Congress in Pennsylvania. So here's, by the way, there's this entire subculture. They call themselves incels. There are people who claim that they are involuntarily celibate, which means that they're just, they can't have a date. That women don't like them. I don't know. Maybe that's, you know, your fault. But anyway, I'm just saying. I mean, it's just a possibility, right? Maybe you're just, you know, maybe it's you. I'm just going to leave it at that. But this Democrat Pennsylvania congresswoman, congressional candidate named Alexandra Hunt, she has now blamed the existence of incels on the criminalization of sex and Republicans in a weird Twitter rant that went on and on. I mean, it's embarrassing. In fact, the more I began to read, I thought, I can't read her words. I mean, first of all, I don't talk like that. Secondly, I don't want a congresswoman talking like that. And thirdly, I'm not going to talk on that on my radio show. But the guy who wrote the article for Daily Caller points out, the rest of us grown-ups are more concerned about the economy, the energy crisis, protecting our children from the normalization of pedophilia, violent crime, nuclear war, you know, things like that. But if she wants to solve this one problem that barely exists outside of her weird little head, she can be our guest. Wokeness. Incels. Blame it on Republicans. I'm saying no. So here's one for you. So it's woke world. You know, you can't have a southern border. You're not allowed to have a southern border. You know, is this the border secure? How's it secure? It just is. Okay. What border policies do we have securing it? Well, we've got a border. Okay. Do we have a border fence? Do we have a fully staffed border patrol? Do we have border policies that stop people from coming in recklessly? What? Nothing. Nothing. This is where, I tell you what, Boomer, you got those crickets?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so do we have a border policy? Do we have a border fence? No, none of this stuff. So Arizona Governor Ducey, and I like his style, Governor Doug Ducey in Arizona, just a few months back, I remember talking about this, he decided, and I thought this was a great idea. In fact, I had even told Charlene, I said, somebody somewhere is going to figure out pretty soon you can build a wall out of shipping containers. Well, he did. I would love to think that he read my mind, but then again, I don't want him to read my mind. But the federal government is now demanding that the state of Arizona remove double-stacked shipping containers that have been placed along the gaps in the wall at the U.S.-Mexico border, saying that they are unauthorized and they violate U.S. law. So the Bureau of Reclamation is now demanding that the temporary wall put up where they can't get the contracts to build the wall they said they would build, that somehow they're a violation. And we're just stuck in this conundrum. Well, I say, Ducey, leave them stacked, man. Leave them stacked right there on the border. I got a rack of this stuff, y'all. Wait till you hear what happened with the homecoming queen and king in Chicago. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. I'm talking about we are down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, over to Gadsden. We got parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure, and solid conservative and just plain right everywhere we go. All right, so I am in Adventures in Woke World right now. I got some great texts, by the way. Paul from Athens reminds me of our word, Boomer. I'd forgotten our word. Paul from Athens says,
yes.
He says, it's woke because we're in a kakistocracy. Kakistocracy.
Great word.
Kakistocracy. Definition of the word kakistocracy is a government run by the least competent citizens of that community. That's awesome. New on the text line is Michelle from Huntsville. So she's just getting in her car, going to be listening. She goes, say on the radio that my husband turned into a rabid liberal over the years and that this radio show is a breath of sanity. Well, there you have. I just said it for you, Michelle. I can't explain your mixed marriage, but, you know, best of luck to you. And just so you know that God can work everything out. Welcome to Rusty from Huntsville, who is on the text line right now. And we got Frank from Madison, who points out with regards to our earlier segment on the price of Texas tea. He says, any idea how many barrels of oil are required for one day of full military mobilization? No, but it's a lot. It's a lot, brother. I'm sure it is. Hey, listen, continuing on with Adventures in Woke World. Story on FoxNews.com dated yesterday. Chicago area high school ditches homecoming king and queen titles, changes to gender-neutral royalty. It's royalty now. A suburban Chicago high school is ditching the homecoming king and queen titles and replacing both with the gender-neutral term royalty. Hinsdale South High School in Darien, Illinois, recently made the change in order to give all students a chance to be involved. By the way, I'm pretty sure all students were involved. All the guys could be kings. All the girls could be queens. Not anymore. A spokesperson for the school said that during a recent assembly, freshmen, sophomores, and juniors voted for classmates to be part of the homecoming court, and then the entire student body voted for two people from the senior court to become royalty. What did they do? They chose two dudes. You got two kings, who, by the way, then it asked to become. They were first referred to as royalty, but they were optioned the opportunity, and they asked to be called homecoming kings. What knuckleheads. Because it's scary. You got to have. So now what happens? Now, at this point, look at that. Did he say it, the story? But now there's no way for a young lady to be the homecoming queen because it's royalty, and they picked two dudes. And so now they got two kings. And I guarantee you the first dance is not going to be the king dancing with the king. You know what I'm saying? It's not going to happen. It's just ridiculous. How about this one? Boomer, you got that clip? Okay, so here's the thing. President Biden is planning, he's working hard to pay off all the student loans. Boomer's already laughing.
You said working hard. Sorry.
Boomer!
My bad.
No, that was, you know,
he's going on vacation tonight, didn't you know?
Is he again?
I don't know. I'm
probably. Burning up some of that Texas tea as he flies over to Delaware again. In a Monday speech announcing the official launch of the federal student loan cancellation application portal, President Biden slammed the GOP for its resistance to the program, which Republicans have argued is illegal and carries a massive price tag for the government. Well, it does. And what we're basically doing is we're just saying, hey, that loan you contracted saying you would repay, yeah, we're going to take care of that for you. Or how about this? Hey, that ridiculous underwater basket weaving degree you got that you can't find a job now in the underwater basket weaving industry, we're gonna take care of you because, you know, you were pushed into it. Surely you were. Well, the RNC, the Republican National Committee, has recently come out with an ad, and I wish you could see it. This is radio, obviously you can't, but the ad is basically some working class folks. There's a lady who's waiting tables. You'll hear her voice. There's a guy who's a mechanic in an auto body shop who's working on cars. And I think the other one is a farmer, Boomer. But you're going to hear them talking about how excited they are to pay off everybody's student loans. Play it.
I spend more time working on these cars than with my own family.
I spend my days digging holes, cutting grass, and sweating.
This is job number two today. So my customers aren't the only ones drinking coffee.
I'm breaking my back out here for one reason.
I want to pay off some other guy's debt.
Biden's plan to pay other people's college loans using my tax dollars is a great idea.
Biden's right. You should take my tax dollars to pay off your debts. My family will figure out how to get by with less. What's most important is we spare college graduates from any extra stress.
Want to be a struggling artist? College is on me.
My kids don't need fancy things like school supplies or new shoes.
I work for you, theater major.
This shift is for you, business major. Go buy yourself that new car.
Enjoy your free ride. College is on me.
Tell Congress, stop Biden's bailout for rich kids.
Oh, my gosh. That is hilarious. And I'll be honest with you, the visual on it is really good, too. I mean, they laid this commercial out so well. But I love the part where they said, college is on me, theater majors. You know, oh, my gosh. Adventures in woke world. It just gets bigger. Let me throw another one at you. You ready? Story on the post-millennial. Yes, I'm shifting gears. Story on the post-millennial. Dated yesterday. I told you, man, I'm finding this rack of stuff that's all like current stories. Google pulls a map of gender clinics from across the U.S. after it was called extremist by trans activist parents. I thought they were proud. I thought they wanted the world to know. They have Pride Month. I thought they wanted the world to know that it's okay to do gender-affirming care. Well, then, no. Not as long as we know where they are. That's bad. This needs to be done in secret. Remember the whole thing about abortions, by the way? The back room abortions, the back alley abortions. Well, apparently they want back alley transgender affirming care. So a map charting the locations of clinics and hospitals offering medicalized gender transitions and other gender identity centric treatments has come under attack by gender ideology proponents who say the map is dangerous. How dare you put up a map showing where people can find a clinic that provides gender-affirming care? The map was taken down by Google. Of course it was. After trans activist backlash, a group of parents of trans-identified children and teens confirmed they worked to get Google to take it down. They called the map the creation of a terrorist organization. The map caught the attention of a Facebook group for parents who are looking for support from one another to medically and socially transition their children. Oh, a support group for abusing your kids. That's wonderful. Love that. Facebook, supporting a group that is talking about how to medically alter their children. Awesome. Well, one of the parents posted a link to the Gender Mapper Project and was horrified, saying it was an anti-trans information. It directly affects all of us. Their concern was the map could be used by extremists to report on clinics. What do? They have unlisted phone numbers? Secret locations? Google Maps won't take you there? You got to have a special knock when you get to the door. The Guido looks out the little slit in the door and says, what are you here for? You say, Johnny Rocco sent me. Johnny Rocco, what's he sent you for? For the Sunshine on the Prairie. That's the password. Come on in. Gender-affirming care down the hall. I mean, that's what we're looking at here. They don't want the map to be shown. Unbelievable. The map has come under fire from fire. I acted that skit out pretty good. That was kind of fun.
That was good.
I feel like I've got to do one of those Adventures in Woke World skits sometime soon about trying to find the secret gender-affirming clinic.
You do.
Yeah. You yeah. Do. Is it? I didn't tell you this, all right? It's on a piece of paper. I'm going to slide it across the table to you. You don't tell nobody. Once you've read it, you eat it. You understand what I'm saying? All right. You go down the hall. You talk to Susie. Susie will direct you. This is where we're going. But, yeah, trans activists don't want trans clinics to be made known to the rest of the world because it could be scary. Whatever. How about this one? Story from Fox News dated today. Here's why I'll make you pull your hair out. Christian physician assistant sues Michigan Health for being fired after objecting to trans procedures. So a Christian woman in Michigan who served 17 years as a qualified physician assistant for Michigan Health filed a lawsuit against her former employer last week after they allegedly terminated her because of her sincerely held religious beliefs. I'm heartbroken, said Valerie Klusterman. I had 17 years I spent with patients and families, co-workers who sometimes I spent more time with than I did my own family, and they took that away. They took away the relationships I had built up and the people who trusted me for their care. And it was over something that could have been easily accommodated, she said, based upon the University of Michigan's focus on being inclusive. So she talks about the fact that at University of Michigan's Health West in Wyoming, Michigan, where it's a city, Wyoming, Michigan, allegedly terminated her when she asked for a religious accommodation not to have to take part in transgender surgical procedures. She said it violates her Christian faith, which I can see that. She claims she was expected to affirm such things in theory, but she had never even had a patient who questioned her unwillingness to do it. Anyway, they had to go through this, you know, diversity, equity, and inclusion training with a battery of questions they had to answer on paper to put in their file. And the questions were things like, you know, confirming that gender was fluid. She had to check the box. And there was no way to option out of things that she didn't believe in. She literally had to basically, what they were asking her to do was basically agree with them. It's like, you know, you're at the Hanoi Hilton and they slide the paper across. They tell you to confess to your war crimes. Well, they're basically saying, here, you will agree. Don't you agree? You do agree, don't you? Well, she couldn't agree. So she went to the Office of the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Officer at her facility. She told them she was a Christian and this violated her beliefs. Says the meeting immediately became hostile. I was called evil. I was called a liar. And I very compassionately gave my point about what my concern was from a medical standpoint and from my medical judgment as well as my conscience to God. And I was being asked to compromise. She said she was stunned by the response from the organization that publicly prides itself on being inclusive. And she alleged that her meeting with DEI, Diversity, Equity, Inclusion, quickly became very personal. They were not interested in having a dialogue. She was soon thereafter terminated after 17 years of service. Wow. Wow. I'll tell you what, we got a little bit more. I'm going to take a break right now. We'll come back and I'll wrap up Adventures in Woke World. Top of the hour, you're going to want to stay tuned. My brethren, Dale Jackson and Jeff Poor, join me for our once-a-week Grand Council at 4 o'clock. It's going to be good. In the meantime, hang on for a break. We'll be right back. And we're back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid conservative, just plain right, making it cool to be a conservative. My favorite meme, by the way, I was just showing this to Boomer in the last segment. As we fight back against wokeness, I've got a meme here that I found somewhere. It has a picture of a monkey holding a 45 caliber pistol, and it says, "When it's time to fight, you fight like you're the third monkey on the ramp to Noah's Ark, and brother, it's starting to rain." That's motivation right there, man. Yes. You're the third monkey on the ramp to Noah's Ark, and brother, it's starting to rain. I just gotta laugh. Staying with Adventures in Woke World, and by the way, coming up at the top of the hour here in a few minutes, the Grand Council with Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson. They join me every week in Wednesday at 4 o'clock. But yeah, so keeping with the theme going about wokeness and stupid stories that are out there, so. You know, the Washington Post, not known for being a bastion of conservatism. Townhall.com, though, reports as of yesterday afternoon. The Washington Post editorial board comes out against the D.C. measure allowing non-citizens to vote. First of all, I hate they even had to, but nonetheless, I'm proud they did because, like I said, Washington Post, usually not known for, you know, approaching things from a conservative viewpoint. Says on Monday, the Washington Post editorial board came out against legislation in Washington, D.C. that would allow non-citizens to vote. In the piece entitled, "D.C. is considering legislation to let non-citizens vote, that's a bad idea," the editorial board wrote that this kind of legislation in the nation's capital could allow those working at the embassies of foreign governments and foreign exchange students staying in D.C. temporarily to cast a ballot. Doesn't that make sense? Do you want people from the Iranian embassy voting on who's going to be the mayor of D.C.? I mean, for the love of God, voting is a foundational right of citizenship. That's why we oppose a bill poised to pass the D.C. Council this week that would allow an estimated 50,000 non-citizen residents of D.C. to cast ballots in local elections. The editorial board pointed out that ballot initiatives to prohibit non-citizens from voting have passed in states like Florida, Colorado, and Alabama, noting that it's easy to see House Republicans advancing such a bill next year. The proposed law, they wrote, is likely an effort to push D.C. even further left. You think? But, hey, good on you. I mean, how woke is that, though? You're literally sitting in the nation's capital where you can go down to the Smithsonian and see a copy of the Constitution and see the actual Bill of Rights and see the sanctity of the vote enshrined in our foundational documents. And they're going to go ahead and say, and we're going to let people from foreign countries come here and vote. That makes absolutely no, that's the ultimate, that's the height of wokeness. I'll give you another one. You ready? The Epoch Times, dated yesterday. The Epoch Times, Colorado looking to fund equity and affordable housing programs by reducing tax refunds. Well, I got news. It's called a tax increase. If you have less of a refund than you just had your taxes increased. That's just, let's say it for what it is. Epoch Times reports as of yesterday, in September, the average sales price for a single family home in Colorado was almost $670,000. That's a number most first-time homebuyers and lower-income families find difficult to swallow. As a result of Colorado's sky-high housing costs, state legislators have taken measures to increase affordable housing. Because, you know, you can't do anything like, I don't know, help drive the market into a means by which housing becomes more affordable. No, you have to subsidize it. That's what liberals do. Let's throw some money at it. How do we do that? I don't know. Let's raise taxes. November 8th, this coming November 8th, Colorado voters get to voice their opinion on the matter by voting for or against Proposition 123, which is called the Dedicate Revenue for Affordable Housing Programs Act. Wow. If passed, the measure will set aside tax revenue for affordable housing projects in Colorado and exempt the income from Colorado's constitutional revenue limits. But in exchange for those dedicated funds, Prop 123 will reduce future tax refunds to Colorado residents and instead put them towards government programs, like the one for homeowners to share home equity with their tenants. Okay, so what this means is, literally, upwards of $69.6 million to $121.8 million for a program called Affordable Housing Equity, which is basically going to be allowing people to get money for housing. Yeah. Raising taxes so you can help people buy houses. Lastly, before we hit the top of the hour, Ulta. And, you know, I believe Charlene buys makeup at Ulta. U-L-T-A, Ulta. Ulta turns off comments, but stands by its offensive transgender video that triggered boycott calls. Daily Wire reports as of yesterday, Ulta Beauty is working overtime to shut up their critics and stand by an offensive transgender video on girlhood and motherhood that triggered calls to boycott the makeup supply chain. A company podcast episode titled The Beauty of Girlhood with Dylan Mulvaney featured biologically male transgender influencer Dylan Mulvaney and host David Lopez, a gender-fluid hairdresser, talking about female issues. So you got two dudes sort of being girls talking about girls like they're girls. Here's a quote. The intersectionality of gender identity is nuanced, something David and Dylan acknowledge within the episodes. They also claim, by the way, that a guy can be a mother and that anyone who thinks otherwise is transphobic, which caused one person to respond, so what if you have a white man wearing blackface advertising your products? Is that respecting everyone too? It's like slap in the face to primarily female customer base to have this insulting caricature of womanhood represent you. I won't shop with you again. Adventures in Woke World. All right, folks, coming right back. Grand Council, me, Jeff Poore, and Dale Jackson. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.